Do you belong to God? Are you a Jew? Do you keep the law? Or perhaps you belong another way. You are Christian and you believe the gospel. So are there then two peoples of God? Dispensationalism, a novel theology and religion, which is the majority religion in Christian evangelicalism in America, says that yes, there are in fact two peoples of God. There are the Jews with the law and the Christians with the gospel. But is this barely 100-year-old doctrine true? That there are two peoples of God? Are there more peoples of God? Or maybe perhaps only one peoples of God? How many people of God are there? And that is a question I want to answer from our text this morning. How many people of God are there? According to Jesus, there are Abraham's children. We see verse 39, they answered him, these disciples, these so-called disciples. Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did. So Jesus affirms that there are Abraham's children, and the Jews believed that belonged to them, that that was their title, that they were in fact, without doubt, the children of Abraham. And they based their lineage on the fact that they were Jews. Their heritage was the law. And Jesus challenged this presumption when he said, if you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works that Abraham did. Now, works there is plural, and so we ask ourselves, what works did Abraham do? Well, we know, as a Babylonian, the Lord came to him in Ur of the Chaldeans, and God called to him, and he obeyed God's word. He followed God's word. He followed God's word from Ur all the way down to what is known today as Israel. So he followed the Lord at the Lord's word. That's a good work. That's a good work. And then after that good work, he eventually went to war for the Lord against Chedorlaomer. He won victory, and then on returning from victory, he gave a tithe to Melchizedek, a forerunner of Christ. He gave a tenth of the victory to a forerunner of Christ. That's a good work. Good work. God wants the people of Abraham to invest in the kingdom of God. That is an investment. That's your highest investment, your best investment, and an investment that will never fail. It's a good work. But where Abraham shines the most is his trust in God's promise. We read in Genesis 15:6, and Abraham believed the Lord, and the Lord counted it to him as righteousness. What work did Abraham do? Abraham received the truth, verse 40. He says, but now you seek to kill me, a man who told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. Abraham received the truth. He listened to God's word. He obeyed it. His merit was faith. His merit was faith. He trusted God's word and became the father of Israel and many nations. He listened to God with faith. And this is the work of Abraham's heirs. If you have your Bibles, turn with me quickly over to Galatians chapter 3. An important text for our study this morning. Galatians 3, beginning verse 2. Paul here asks the Galatians, and he asks you this morning an important question, a couple of questions, some of the most important questions you'll ever be asked. Probably the most important questions you'll ever be asked. Galatians chapter 3, verse 2, he says, let me ask you only this. Here's the Apostle Paul asking you, church, this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Did you receive the Spirit? Were you born again by the Spirit? Is the Spirit who now works in you work in you by hearing with faith or by works of the law? Law or gospel? Are you so foolish? He says. That's a question. He's not calling you fools. He's just asking if you are foolish. Are you foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? That's your sanctification. Is your sanctification, does it come by hearing or by works of the law? Law or gospel? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? So he's asking you, church, are we a people of the law, people with the works of our hand? Are we people of the ear, people who hear? Are we believing people or doing people? Namely, law or gospel. And just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness, the work of Abraham was hearing. He heard. He believed. And that belief and that hearing moved him. There was obedience. But it was obedience moved by hearing. Hearing. Now the Jews will eventually ask Jesus, what works must we do to do the works of God? They're going to ask Jesus, what works? Because he doesn't really talk about works much, and they're going to get confused. Like, man, you talk a lot about hearing and believing, but what works should we do? What work should we do to be doing the works of God? And Jesus will answer, the work of God is this, believe in the one whom he has sent. The work of God is believing. The work of God is faith. The work of Abraham was faith. And we know that it was faith in Christ. We're talking Abraham, right? Beginning of the Bible. Genesis chapter 12, 15, 17, 21, 22. Beginning of the Bible. Where's Jesus come in? Where's Jesus at in the Bible? We got to turn all the way to the New Testament. No, not really. You got to go back even later in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. But anyway, listen to Jesus, verse 56. Jesus said in our story, we'll hear about this next week, your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. Abraham saw Jesus and was glad. Abraham loved Jesus. Abraham believed in Jesus. Abraham's children believe in Jesus. So how many people of God are there? There is at least one people of God, Christians with the gospel. So the count is one so far, but we're barely in the story. Perhaps Jesus will give the Jews their place in a moment. I mean, they have the entire Old Testament on their side, do they not? Verse 40. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing the works your father did. Jesus works in this passage too. Jesus says, my work is to tell you the truth. He preaches truth, and he said earlier that that truth sets you free. Verse 31. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So Jesus is working, and Jesus is doing the preaching, and Jesus is doing the telling, and he's doing the truth. And the truth that sets you free is Jesus himself. Jesus was doing Jesus. The work of Jesus was Jesus. And he is the one who sets you free. Now, why do these Jews have to be set free? That's actually what they ask. Why would we have to be set free? We have the law. Why do those with the law need to be freed? They have the law. Their freedom was in their obedience. But Jesus said they were enslaved. Why? He said it already earlier in the story. He said, because none of you keeps the law. None of you keeps the law. The Apostle Paul said, none are righteous, no, not one. So we cannot just rely on the law. And so the count is still one, by the way. Still one. God's people are set free by the gospel. Still just one people of God so far. So far. But let's keep going. Verse 41. You are doing the works your father did. They said to him, we were not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God. Now, they're not being very nice here, are they? That's because Jesus wasn't nice. Jesus wasn't nice. And so now the Jews are mad and they defend themselves. They're offended. They got defensive. They charge Christ with being a son of adultery. And they were the righteous ones because they were not sons of fornication. Not only were they the right sons, they were the orthodox ones. So they confess with one word, one. We have one Father. And that word one is an appeal to the Shema, Deuteronomy 6, 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God. The Lord our God is one. So they are telling Jesus, listen, we have the correct lineage. We have the right race. We have the right flesh. We have the right doctrine. We are the people of God. This is Jews with the law. They believed Abraham's children were Jews with the law. God was their father because they had the covenant. And they could have appealed to many Old Testament passages that set them apart as God's unique creation. Like good dispensationalists, they could have claimed their status, or they did claim their status as God's people based on their ethnic and national identity. So is the count now up to two? Are we at two peoples of God? Christians who believe and Jews with the law? No. Because I'll let you in on a little secret. Jesus was not a dispensationalist. Verse 42. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. According to Jesus, God's people love Jesus. That's what he's saying. He's saying God's people love Jesus. Now, Jesus doesn't deny God's word when it says things like, Israel is my firstborn son, or when it says, I am Israel's father. No, he denies that these Old Testament promises apply to them as Jews because they're Jews. I just made a really important statement. I hope you heard it. Let me read it again. Jesus denies that the Old Testament promises of Israel belong to the Jews because they're Jews. According to the Apostle Paul, if you love Jesus, no matter how Jewish you are nothing. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law a Pharisee, as to zeal a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. And then he says, I count that all rubbish. A Jew with the law, I count it all rubbish. Worthless. According to Paul, worthless. He counted it as loss. His Jewishness was a loss for the sake of knowing Christ. So let me answer the question for you right now to get it out of the way. There are only one people of God. There are not two peoples of God. There is one peoples of God. The people of God love Jesus. Abraham's children love Jesus. This implies that God's word about being a father to Israel applies to others. It applies to those who believe in Christ. So Peter calls the church a chosen race. Paul calls us the Israel of God. And Paul says not everyone in Israel belongs to Israel. Not all who belong to Israel belong to Israel. Paul writes in Galatians 3:29, if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. I'll let you in on a little secret. I went to a dispensational college. And when we would read these things, my professors would say, well, what you got to do with this text is realize when this was read in the church, Paul only looked at the Jews in the audience. He didn't look at the Gentiles. He just looked at the Jews. No. It's faith. If you're Christ, then you're Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. The promises to Israel in the Old Testament are the promises to believers. Verse 43. Why do you not understand what I say? So he's talking to these Jewish people. Why can't you understand me? He says, it is because you cannot bear to hear my word. They don't like to hear someone say that they are not God's people because they are Jews with the law. They cannot bear it. They're going to actually pick up stones to try to kill him at the end of this speech. By the end of this speech, they're going to want to, they try to kill Jesus. Why can't you bear to hear my word? They don't understand Jesus. And Jesus says they don't understand because they cannot hear. Why can they not hear? And his answer is because you belong to another. These are Jews with the law. And Jesus says, no, you don't belong to God. Verse 44. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Abraham's children believe in the gospel. God's children believe in the gospel. Those are identical offspring, the people of God. But there is another offspring, Jesus says. He does agree that there are two peoples in this world. There are two peoples in this world. The people of God, the people of the devil. That is, believers and unbelievers. And you must recognize that, children. Right? People of God and people of the devil. The offspring of the serpent does not accept the gospel. But he's fine with the law. I want you to know that. The devil's fine with the law. He wants you trying your best to keep it. Go for it. Do it. Let's do it. Let's get this done. Look inside. You can do it. You can be like God. Some Christians want to be Christian and Jewish. You ever met those kind of Christians? They're Christians, but they also want to be Jewish. So they're Christians, but they also don't eat pork, and they keep the Sabbath. But you know what the law says? The law says the moment you fail the law, the moment you fail, you are cursed. And the law is more than just avoiding pork and writing scripture on your doorposts and whatever else you want to do. You know, people always want to keep the fun ones. Oh, I'll keep the fun ones. I'll do a Seder. We do Seders at our house. Listen to Deuteronomy 28:45. Moses writes all these curses. So Deuteronomy 28 is just a bunch of curses. You want to go read it? It's like, cursed are you if you do this. Cursed are you if you don't do this. Cursed are you if you do this. Curse, curse, curse. It's just full of curses. And then he says, all these curses shall come upon you and pursue you and overtake you till you are destroyed because you do not obey the voice of the Lord and keep his commandments and his statutes that he commanded you. Now, there's another interesting thing at the end of Deuteronomy. After he promises them these curses, Moses says, and you will be cursed. He gives them the law. And they say, amen, all this we will do. And then Moses says, you will utterly fail. And you will be cursed. And if you want to read about what happens to him, it's quite graphic. It's not the verses mothers want to read to their children, especially for bed. This is what will happen to you. And then we see it, right? As soon as Moses comes down Mount Sinai with the testimony of the law, what is Israel doing? Worshiping golden calves. Why? Because none of you keeps the law. There are none righteous. No, not one. Now, Deuteronomy also has blessings for obedience. So there are these curse sanctions, but then there are these blessings for obedience, which you cannot obtain because none keeps the law. So why does God and Moses not just give us the curse sanctions? Why are there blessing promises if none keeps the law? Why are there promises of blessings if none are righteous, no, not one? Because Jesus kept the law. Jesus never failed. Because of Christ, who is the true and righteous man, all the Old Testament promises belong to Christ. Hear that. That's another important statement I'm making this morning. All the Old Testament promises belong to Christ. The blessings and the curses. The curses belong to Christ. The blessings belong to Christ. So he is Eve's offspring. He is Abraham's offspring. He is the true son of David. He's the Red Sea, the flood, the rock in the wilderness, the temple, the land, the people, all the sacrifices and ceremonies of the law point to Christ. He is the righteousness of God that becomes our righteousness by faith alone. And we are redeemed from our sins because he who knew no sin became sin and was cursed on a tree to take away God's wrath. And his righteousness is a gift of faith that we who believe are the righteousness of God. Now, you can turn the Bible into something else. You can turn the Bible into a guide for political redemption. And then you can apply all the land promises in the Old Testament to America. You take all those land promises, being fruitful and blessings in the land, and you can say, America. You can make the Bible political redemption. Many healing verses. You can take all these healing verses and apply them to you and make your religion therapeutic. You can take all the promises of wealth and make them earthly riches. You can take all the laws and make your religion one of morality. But then you have to abandon the truth and die in your sins. The devil killed by abandoning Christ. Like his murder, the devil lies are evident from the Garden of Eden and on. For in the garden, God said, you will surely die. And the devil retorted, you will not surely die. Who's the liar? The one who denies that Christ is the truth or the one who believes it? Who's the liar? The one who believes the Bible is all about Jesus or the one who thinks it's mostly about ethnic and ethics? Ethnicity or ethics? Were you saved by works of the law or by hearing with faith? That is your question from the Apostle Paul. And Jesus is giving us the answer. So far, the count is one. People of God, believe and love Jesus, the truth. Verse 45. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? Which they never do, because they can't. He says, if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Why do you not believe me? And his answer is John 6. Why do you not believe me? The answer is John 6, which he further elaborates here in verse 47. Whoever is of God hears the words of God. Whoever is of God hears the word of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. Only the ones who belong to God hears what God says, and the conclusion is inevitable. You do not hear because you do not belong to God. Those who belong to God hear God. And the count is still one. Turn with me to chapter 6 of John's Gospel. John 6, 37. Jesus says, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. Those who belong to God are given by the Father to the Son. The Father gives his people to the Son, this gift, and this gift, this people that the Father gives to the Son, come, that is, believe in the Son. So the Father gives a people to the Son, and the Son believes in these people believe in the Son, and they come to the Son, and they can hear now, because they're of God, because God gave them. And then we're secure. I will never cast out. There's security in the Son. Look at verse 44, chapter 6, 44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. This drawing of Jesus, this drawing of the Father, is the work of unconditional grace. It's unconditional because God is doing it. You're not doing anything here in this story. You're not doing anything in the text. You're being given. You're being drawn. And you're coming. You're being saved. You're being secured. God's people are people of grace alone. And the count is still one. Verse 45, it is written in the prophets. It will all be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. And that is those who are drawn and those who are given. Those who are given are those who are drawn. Those who are drawn are the ones who come. They come. God's people are led to Christ by the word of God. There is no place for ethnicity or works of the law. It is hearing. We are drawn by the hearing of the word. The Holy Spirit enlightens this word into our hearts so that we truly hear it, believe it, cherish it, love it. There is only the strong divine initiative of God when it comes to the things of God. Verse 63 through 65. John 6. We're still in John 6. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. Jewish flesh, no help at all. And I gotta say it, Dutch flesh, no help at all. The good works that you appeal to, the flesh, no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. Spirit and life. This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father. To be born of God is to be born of God. To be of God is to be born of God. To be born of God is to be born by God alone. John 1, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Sola fide, Sola gratia, solus Christus, soli Deo gloria. Born by God's will, we are new creatures in Christ, and in this way all Israel will be saved. I just settled a debate for you, by the way. I don't know if you picked up on it. That's Calvin. Therefore, despite all the words extended to the Jews, they do not hear because they are not of God. They are not Abraham's heirs because they do not believe the gospel. They are not children of God because they do not love the gospel. So the count remains one. And the question that you have for me now is probably, am I one? Do you love the gospel? Are you thankful? And does your life show it? Do you seek to flee sin and live in righteousness, having accepted the one and Savior Jesus Christ? Do you answer the call of his word and seek to put away unrighteousness? Do you give your life to Christ by giving him a part of your livelihood? These are the works of Abraham. Trust Christ, believe in grace, and you are the righteousness of God. And I declare it. So the count is one. For all that counts is faith alone. There is one body and one spirit. Just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all who believe. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Let us pray.
At Covenant Reformed Church in Missoula, Montana, we sincerely believe God's word and faithfully teach it. We invite you to worship with us on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. For more information, please visit missoulaurc.com. That's missoulaurc.com.